Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
You're listening to Thunderheads, a podcast for Thunder fans by Thunder fans.
Welcome to Thunderheads. I'm Brandon Soule. We are missing Rob Larson today for an undisclosed reason. There he is. He shows up. He's very sick. Maybe that's it. He's very sick. But I'm joined, as always, by the dark and stormy Jason Lewis.
Yes, sir.
And I got a good one for you today.
Oh, good.
A 42-year-old Indian woman.
Oh.
That's the dot, not the feather.
Whew.
Is that racist?
I don't know.
How was that not racist? Really. I mean, it's just like to clarify, you know. Mm. I mean, because I'd say Native American. If
right,
it was.
Because Native Americans aren't actually Indians.
I hope that's not racist, and if it is, then I sincerely apologize.
We'll issue a statement of apology after the pod.
Right. So anyways, a 42-year-old Indian woman had to go to the doctor to have a cockroach removed from her skull.
Dude, I saw the video for this.
Did you?
You watch the video?
No.
It's disgusting.
It was alive.
It was alive.
So she was sleeping and felt a sensation that a bug had crawled up her nose. She said she couldn't quite explain the feeling, but she was sure it was like an insect that had crawled up her nose. And whenever it moved, she could feel it like tingling, and she would get a burning sensation behind her eyes.
Does that not make you want to never sleep again?
It's pretty bad. I mean, like, she'd have to have some big-ass nostrils, though.
I don't think they're slimy little...
They're not really slimy, though, are they? I mean, they're kind of crunchy.
Yeah, they are a little crunchy.
And they can get big. So she went to
it
the doctor.
It looked kind of large. It was gross,
right?
Man.
She went to the doctor and they found that it was nestled against her skull between her eyes, pretty close to her brain.
Oh, so that's where it was? Because I just saw the headline and looked at the video and was like, I don't know why I'm watching this.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of disgusting. And then it was really disgusting.
Yeah, so it was hanging out there, pretty close to her brain, between the eyes. They tried to remove it with a vacuum suction, but the cockroach was too big.
What?
And so they finally just snagged it out with the aid of a nasal endoscope.
So it had to like squeeze itself up in there.
I would think so. It wouldn't just crawl
like
freely.
If it can't easily be vacuumed out of your head.
Unless she had like crazy big nostrils. But even then, you got to think it would have to.
It had to wedge itself in somewhere.
Right. Work itself through the hair and, you
which
know.
I guess they like dark, wet spaces, but that's just a bummer. And apparently, like the thing I read said that I guess this happens a lot, but it's typically ears.
Right.
It's typically
going through
ear
the nose
thing.
Is kind of rare, I think.
But to have a cockroach crawling around in your brain
I think the worst part would be when you just feel and you could hear, I'm sure you can hear it inside your head.
Huh.
You know, so like, like when you plug your ears and you can hear the things
happening.
This
might be the first podcast I throw up on.
It's awful. Cockroaches are disgusting too.
God, that's so nasty.
Okay, on to Thunder basketball.
Oh, thank God.
So Cantor got hurt. We know this. Happened, week and a half ago?
Yeah.
Thunder are 2-4 since he got hurt. Which they played some good teams, you know, the Cavs, Spurs, lost a heartbreaker to the Pacers, where they're playing so well in the first half.
Yeah, they looked great the first half of that game.
Yeah, they looked like
they were moving the ball, like everybody was engaged.
They were calm, they looked awesome on defense. And then second half, I mean, really.
Third quarter.
Very end of the second quarter, third quarter. I mean,
you know those.
Issues all season long, the third quarter.
It's.
All right, let's start there. I was going to start somewhere else, but let's actually start there because is it a lineup issue? I mean, Sabonis is playing awful,
yeah,
right?
He's
been
not
awful.
Good.
He can hold his own on defense a little bit. You know, the thing about him is he's in the right spots. He just can't finish the damn play.
Yeah.
And he only has one move on offense, and it's a pump fake drive to the left right now. Right. He has no confidence shooting the ball.
Right, so the pump like doesn't even really work because everybody's like, well, he's not going to shoot it now.
And if he shoots it, they're going to go ahead and let him.
Yeah, sure.
If you make it, okay.
Exactly.
Good for you. I'll let you shoot it again next time. You're going to have to make
or
a
Or you can
of
do
them.
Your one move.
Right.
I know what you're doing.
And he does the one move, and he pivots 14 times, and he doesn't pass out of the post. I mean, it seems like, I don't know if it's all him or if it's the coaching staff kind of encouraging him to really... just attack, you know.
Well, I think they're trying to get him to be more aggressive, which he has done.
He's pretty aggressive, really.
Yeah, and he's gotten a little better at going like strong to the rim when he gets there, but it doesn't always work out that well.
Getting or there. Never.
Yeah.
I mean, right now. I mean, we all saw the potential in this kid, you know, leading up.
And I mean, I think he still has potential. He's just got a lot of stuff to work
on. The guy has potential. He's just not finishing plays right now.
Yeah.
I really think that's the extent of it.
Yeah.
He's in his own head, obviously. I mean, he's still fifth in the last week and a half since our last podcast. He's fifth on the team in minutes. He's playing 23 minutes a game, but he's shooting 29.5% from the field, 16% from three.
That's worse than I thought.
Less than 5 rebounds a game, 0.2 assists, which he's not passing the ball, so it's no surprise. And he's turning it over 2 times a game in those 23 minutes. Well, he had those 2 games. I can't even remember which ones exactly they were, but he had like 8 turnovers in one game.
Yeah, it was like every time he touched the ball, it was either out of bounds or just instantly taken out of his hands.
So I wonder if, you know, in that second half, come out with a new lineup. I mean, they've done it before with him, but I know the effects it can have benching a guy and him losing his confidence even more, but it seems to be shot already.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's not like it's great.
Let him rest up a little bit. Let him watch the game from the bench and get his confidence, or not his, but his head right.
Right. Well, like, maybe sit him down for a little while. And I mean, you have to play him right now. Like, you can't not play him.
Yeah.
Because we don't have enough people. But...
You know, I don't know who you're going to start.
Maybe start Laverne?
I don't even think you have to start Laverne. I just think it's maybe start the second half.
Although you kind of need Laverne off the bench.
Right,
now.
You could start Grant at the
you
4.
You could start Grant.
I mean, I know you could play the matchups
like
a little bit.
With Adams, like, it's not so bad.
No, you're right.
He can come over and help.
It depends on the matchups, though, you know, it really does. Because you can't start Grant against a team that plays a big 4. Like, I don't want Grant starting against the Warriors with Draymond at the 4, you know? And I feel better about Sabonis on Draymond than I do Grant, which is crazy.
That feels weird.
I do. I think he's stronger. I think he's...
I think he's better at like staying down, I guess. I feel like he wouldn't...
He's a little less... More disciplined.
Yeah.
He's a more disciplined defender. Which, that's what makes Grant good at what he does sometimes, too, because he's so athletic. He has to use it. But he just, you know...
But he instantly jumps 20 feet in the air.
Yeah,
if somebody flinches. So.
He could get it under wraps a little bit. So we mentioned Laverne, and he's pretty much been the guy that has taken over for Cantor, right? I mean, it's hey, step up, Laverne. We need you. So what do you think? How do you grade him on a traditional school...
Like a schoolyard?
How's he doing filling in right now?
I would give him a B.
B?
I feel like. Like, I mean, he hasn't been incredible by any means, but he's filling the spot pretty decently. He's been hitting some threes in a couple of the games.
Yeah, he's shooting really well from three. Since the injury, he's shooting 45.5% from three.
So that's nice.
52% overall, which is pretty good. I mean, considering he doesn't really...
I mean, he did have some stupid fouls. Like, I remember he had some touch fouls in that Portland
game.
He's
not a great defender.
Yeah, he just does stupid stuff like that sometimes. And
I mean, he never gets a block. He never gets a steal.
And if Rob were here, I'm just going to talk for him. He's complaining to the refs.
Yeah, he tends to have
kind
bad
of obnoxious.
Attitude. He has a bad attitude at times, but I understand it's just his competitiveness coming out. And I think it just comes out more so in some games than others. But he's scoring 7.5 a game since Cantor's injury. He's playing just under 18 minutes, 5 rebounds a game, but 2 turnovers a game. I mean, he's been all right. You know, he's been.
So you're definitely not getting anywhere near the point production that Cantor would give you, but I feel like he's a little better on defense than Cantor is, like, well, probably significantly.
I don't know if he is. I don't know if I'd agree. I really don't. I think that Cantor has better hands.
Yeah,
I think that he might not move his feet quite as well defensively, but Cantor's strength and hands make up for it. I'm not saying Cantor's
bigger.
A good defender, but I just think, like, at least Cantor, he comes up with a block here and there. He'll come up with a deflection on the ball
That's true.
And I just don't see that from Laverne. But I think that Laverne can be disciplined in the way he plays defense at times.
Yeah,
he was huge down the stretch against Memphis, though.
Yeah,
he had a couple of threes.
Massive.
I mean, those threes too,
dude.
When he hits him like that, I mean, it fires him up, but he just needs a second to wind up. And
yeah, it takes a minute for him to get a shot off. But
and speaking of that Memphis game, that's kind of when the Westbrook clutch.
That fourth quarter.
He's insane. He just continues to do it.
Like, if anybody talks about the MVP thing, they should just show them that fourth quarter. And then what was that last one?
The Blazers game, he did the same thing. I mean, he did against the Mavs a week and a half ago, where he's just scoring over 15 points in the fourth quarter consistently when it's needed. It's not like he's doing it in a blowout game. He's doing it
all the time.
When they need it, they're just like, okay, turn it on. Boom,
it's like, hey, Russ, you just go ahead and win it now.
Yeah, I mean, and he's doing it with the three ball largely, which is scary.
Scary and weird.
Yeah, I don't know what to really think about it, but...
Well, I mean, you see the downside of it against the Pacers. It didn't work.
Yeah, he had good looks, though.
But that's the thing. Like, you see people kind of say he needs to stop shooting threes and stuff, which...
Is anyone saying that right now, though? I don't know if they are.
I don't know anymore, yeah.
I mean, what's he shooting on the season?
Better than he has in the past?
It was, as of the other day, which, what did he shoot against Pacers? I think it was before the Pacers game, he was shooting 34% from three on the season. So that only went up in the Pacers game because he was 4-for-10. So that's 40%, so that would have brought it up. And so he's at a career-high mark shooting a three. And in fourth quarters over the last 1.5 weeks when he's been doing this, he's been playing about 7 minutes a game, shooting 50% overall, which is way higher than is normal. And 43% from three, and he's turning the ball over less than one once per fourth quarter, which is great. He's taking care of the ball in the fourth quarter. He's shooting well.
His fourth quarters, they're just insane. Like, and I see a bunch of people talking about it, like Isaiah Thomas's fourth quarters and how he's like Mr. Clutch this season, but I feel like him and Russ are both, like, and I know Isaiah's been scoring a lot of points in the fourth, but I feel like they're both right up there together, like, as far as...
Yeah,
I mean, it's just so crazy thinking about Russ as this clutch guy. Like,
he is, though.
Because we talked about this before, but like, KD always got the clutch shots before.
Yeah, and it was the stupid Russ dribbles it up slowly,
right?
Crosses half court, and they force it to KD at the top of the key
as he's guarded by two people.
Right.
And they kind of throw it at his.
Now it is kind of like, I mean, I guess that is where the advantages are, if there are any advantages to not having a second superstar on your team, is that everyone, there's no question who the guy is, you know? It's like, come into the game time, give Russell the ball. It's his ball. I thought at the end of the Indiana game, he found Oladipo for a corner three that he missed.
That was a big miss.
It would have been for the tie, but it was the possession before that. I thought he had Oladipo for an even better look than he got there.
I remember you mentioning that.
And he didn't pass the ball. He went straight to the hole. Which I'm not going to complain if Russ goes to the hole, you know? It's like...
It's a pretty good shot.
It's what we ask him to do all the time instead of pull it for the three, right? But
so you can't complain about it, but he did have that look.
Like, and Oladipo wasn't shooting that well, but it's just... I like the idea of giving the other guys confidence through trust. Right,
trusting him in that position, which he did the next time down, and he missed it. Which, but
Oladipo, speaking of him, is 16 for 61 from three. In his last 13 games, which is like 26%, he's really been struggling with shooting the ball. Which Fred Katz tweeted today that he's still shooting 50% on right corner threes, which leads the NBA.
Well, I saw he wrote a story about like him shooting from the corners maybe not being enough right now. And I haven't read the whole thing yet, but I think that's a really good point. Like, I don't know if him just being a spot up corner shooter is really going to be enough right now. I think he needs, it's kind of like we were talking about the other day, he needs to step up and give us a game where he goes for 30.
Or he takes control.
He needs to take over the game. And like, I feel like he's just not giving that, or he doesn't have the confidence yet to just give that extra gear.
I don't know what it is.
Like, he can't make layups.
Yeah.
He missed a dunk, like an open dunk the other day.
He struggles finishing at the rim. He struggles drawing fouls. He's not shooting free throws as well as he has in his past. To me, it almost just seems like he's like a... It's almost like he's so comfortable being that role player.
Yeah.
Almost. Like, that's what he wants because he wants to... He's like KD, but not as good.
Well, so, like, that just made me... What you just said made me think about that article about Carmelo today where Phil Jackson was talking about... Well, Phil Jackson just said the article was kind of on point, but the guy who wrote it was talking about how no one can convince Carmelo to want a championship enough for himself to actually try hard enough to win it or whatever. And it's kind of like that with Oladipo, maybe. Like, he is so comfortable just being that guy that he's...
But this is new to him.
Doesn't, right. But now he has that opportunity to just, like, kind of sit back and let Russ be the guy. And he's just there whenever
his number's called. I think he's trying to do what he feels like he should be doing, which is, this is Russ's team. You know, Russ is going to have the ball almost all the time. He's going to make all the plays for this team. I just need to be ready for the ball when it's passed my way, and I think that's what he's trying to do. So he doesn't get a lot of opportunities in the pick and roll. He's not converting at a high rate. But we've talked about it all year. I'd like to still see him get more opportunities.
If you want him to be that guy, you got to let him have that time to figure that out, right? Like, you got to give him the opportunities to fail.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree.
And then later on he'll get better.
Do the Thunder want him to be that guy? You know, that's the question. Because if you bring in another superstar and you don't have to, you know, and this has to be done this year, by the way, which we've talked about, or in the offseason via trade. But if you're going to do that while holding on to Oladipo, we're going to get into a ton of trade talk here in a bit.
But if that's the plan,
Oladipo's role is perfect. Going to be what he's doing now, right?
Right.
I mean, so it's, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess, with him. But you totally see with this guy, when he gets it going, he gets it going. And he's confident, and he's aggressive, and he pulls up in your face. And that mid-range game of his is money.
Oh, my God.
But he's
solid from there.
What's he been shooting over the past week and a half? He's shooting better at the line. He's shooting 88% from the line over the past week and a half.
That's nice to see, because he was terrible the first half of the season.
I mean, I think he's been hovering around 70% most of the year. And he's getting to the line over four times a game.
He's actually getting calls now, which is better.
Which means he's being more aggressive, but he's shooting 34% from the field over the past week and a half. 18% from three.
Oof.
He's just struggling with this shot a little bit. It'll come back. It's the ebbs and flows of the season, I think. Right?
I would hope so.
I have one question for you.
One question.
And that one, it's just one question right now, but I probably
have some. You'll have some more later?
Probably some more down the road.
Okay.
Okay, but the one right now is, who is the most frustrating Thunder player?
Whew.
Who comes to your mind first? Blurt it out. Paul Blart it out.
Paul Blart. What a terrible movie that was. Let's go on that tangent. Yeah.
Have you actually seen it?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
What about Paul Blart 2?
The whole, no. I wouldn't dare begin to watch that movie.
If you watch the first one, you probably have to watch the second one.
Now I'm going to have to.
Yeah,
just to come back and report. Like, it'll be my pod assignment for the week.
Paul Blart. Kevin James.
Terrible, terrible movie. So most frustrating.
It's one of those. Hold on, back to Paul Blart. It's one of those movies that it's almost like they made it because they knew it was going to be so terrible that people would watch it.
I guess
it's like,
so.
It's almost like it's not obviously the same genre, but it's like those Sharknado movies. It's like, it's so stupid
so
that people will watch it.
That someone's going to watch it. And people watch the shit out of those movies, apparently.
I've never seen a Sharknado.
I haven't either.
Maybe I've seen clips of it.
But they've made what now? Three, four of them?
Yeah.
So anyways.
Or like seven of them, maybe.
Maybe. Like the Fast and the Furious 19.
Most frustrating Thunder player.
I'm going to go with Cameron Payne right now. Are we talking about right now or
right
just
now.
In general?
Yeah.
Campaign is frustrating the hell out of me right now. I feel like I've been saying this, like, just give him time. He'll like get back into the groove of things. But I don't know if he's really getting back in the groove of things.
I mean, that's fair. I can't argue with it because no, he hasn't been good at all.
How many
games has he been back for? I'm gonna look it up real quick.
I'm not sure.
He has been back for 16 games.
So that's not a ton.
Not a ton, but hold on, I got some stats on this.
Uh oh.
Because before we ask, is it time to go back to Christian? I have a couple stats. So Payne's per 36 numbers. Mind you, these are per 36, not averages. 10.8 points. He's shooting just under 32% from the field, which is where he's struggling, right? Shooting the ball. Shooting under 28% from three. 3.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, and a turnover and a half per 36. Compared to last year, he was about 15 points per 36, 41% field goal shooting. Just over 32% from three, 4.5 rebounds, almost 6 assists.
Wow.
And 2 turnovers. So he's turning the ball over more last year per 36. But
and getting less assists.
Way less assists this year.
Well, I think the frustrating part of it is I know the injury was a huge factor in all of this. And he hasn't had time to adjust to these guys. And it's a whole new thing. But the frustration is you saw last year his potential, and now you're not getting the improvement. Like you're just seeing him be worse.
Well, I think that's the frustrating thing.
It's like, how do you...
That's the frustrating thing, but it's also, to me, it's the encouraging thing. Because we saw it last year.
Right, you can see he is capable of that.
Right, we saw the potential last year. We saw in the playoffs when everyone was wondering, why isn't Payne playing? Why isn't he playing?
Yeah.
You know, and now, 16 games into his season, he's terrible.
Right.
Bench him, trade him. It's crazy to me. You know, it's like, you can't bail on a young guy like that because he had a crazy heart injury and he's dealing with a brand new team and he's trying to find his place on the team.
Right. That's a lot of change, especially for your second year in the league. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Not something
that's like that a sophomore slump type thing. I mean,
like, people go through that anyways without having a broken foot.
So compare Payne's per 36 to Christian's. If you're...
I'm not a Christian fan, just so you guys know.
So you're not in the...
I'm not like bench Cam and go to Christian camp. No.
Yeah, I'm not
either. I just wish he would
go
play
to
better.
Christian camp? That's what
that's
you said.
Great.
That is perfect.
Yeah, don't go to Christian camp, though. It's terrible. Been there.
You have?
Yeah. Went to Falls Creek when I was younger. Mm. One of them brainwashing ceremonies.
Oh, gosh. We should veer away from this subject. Okay, so compare Payne and Christian's per 36. I said, you know, just under 11 points per 36 for Payne. Just under 8 points per 36 for Christian. Christian shooting 34%, Payne shooting 32%. Yeah. I mean, do you really feel like Payne's is going to stay down?
No.
I don't really.
No,
I feel like it can only go up.
Yeah, and I don't feel like Christian, from what we saw, I don't feel like he has the potential, like nearly the potential that Payne has. And he's clearly not as good of a player, right?
Payne's
shots haven't been falling, and he hasn't gotten in sync with the guys yet.
I like the pace that Payne plays with, personally. Like,
agreed. Yeah.
I like that he pushes
he's
the ball.
He's awkward
up the floor.
Too. Like, yeah. He's kind of
unorthodox.
He reminds me of Harden. Like, not saying he's anywhere near as good as Harden. Mm-hmm. Don't think that. But his odd movements, like how he kind of slides across the floor sideways,
kind of herky-jerky.
Yeah. Like, that throws people off.
I agree.
Like, it gets him open space to shoot.
I'm with you.
And as soon as he gets his shot to fall, he's going to be good.
So what Christian has on Payne right now is assists, and that's it. That's right. the only thing he's done better.
And he didn't have that until he played with the guys for several months.
Yeah, and then he started picking up a little bit. And I'm not dogging Christian at all either. I mean,
he's a good player.
It took him a while, but he did what he could do, what he was capable of. But
he did what he was supposed to.
You got to stick with Payne. You can't just ditch Payne and go with Christian.
Yeah, you don't just move away from a lottery pick after 16 games. That's crazy.
I agree, but do you think... I mean,
unless you can get a superstar.
Well, campaign for LeBron, who says now?
I'll take it. So hey. I'm going to change my frustrating Thunder player answer to Cantor because he's a son of a bitch.
I was thinking about that being the answer, actually. I was like, you know... I mean,
no, that
I
should actually be the answer because he punched a chair and broke his arm.
I don't know who my most frustrating would be. I think that you could make a case for Grant.
Ooh.
I think it's...
That's interesting.
For some reason, Jeremy Grant gets off easy. You notice that?
Well, yeah. Because I think everybody had really low expectations from
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, because he was like a Sixers player. So what do you expect?
It drives me crazy, though, when he gets the... I've been talking about this for weeks. I want to see him exclusively at the power forward spot. I don't want to see him at the three anymore. And it's not because I don't think he's capable, and I know it could hurt you on defense, but... When he gets the ball on the perimeter and Steven Adams is posted up on the block, perfect position, and Jeremy Grant like looks like he might pass it, and he's like, oh, wait, that's not what I do. And then
and
he
then
starts
he,
dribbling.
Super high dribbles above his head.
Yeah.
Takes two dribbles.
He's
and then
just running around.
But I've noticed like every time he goes to the rim, he bounces off someone, falls backwards, and then tries to like shoot while he's horizontal.
But to his
it's very
credit,
strange. See, he sometimes makes it.
He'll make it
which
sometimes.
Is very weird. Like, I did not expect that to work ever, but...
I do have to give credit to his jump shot, because his jump shot's been a lot better than I would have ever thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I've talked about that before. I remember Sixers players on Reddit, or not players, but fans, were saying...
They're on Reddit.
Players are just in the Sixers form. Yeah. But they were talking about how terrible his shot was, and so far it's been a lot better here, but...
I'd like to see his numbers on corner threes. I haven't looked...
Neither have I.
Yeah, so we should definitely look that
up. We'll do that someday.
And tweet it out or something of that.
It's a lazy Tuesday.
Well, it might take you a minute to get there. And so
I don't know how to work things.
Hey, Jason, do you like reading books?
Oh, books?
Wait,
yeah.
Wait, don't we have a sounder? Wait, don't we have a back sounder for this?
Yeah, I do like reading books.
Hold on, let's get to... We can't do the ad until we have the sounder.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Hey, Jason, do you like reading books?
I do.
Not me.
Well, have you heard of Audible.com? Over at Audible.com, all Thunderheads listeners can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial to try out the service.
Oh, that's right. I have heard of Audible.com because we've done the ad right here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It offers over 180,000 audiobook titles, including Furious George, the recent controversial title from long-time NBA head coach and former and possibly future cancer person, George Karl, which he dogs on Carmelo.
Talks about posses and things.
Yeah.
A little racist.
Poor Carmelo.
Yeah. He's getting dogged on a lot these days. Yeah. So yeah, head over to audibletrial.com/almighty. That's audibletrial.com/almighty to get your free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial today.
Do it. Audiobooks are cool. Okay, so we brought up the Jeremy Grant Corner 3 thing. We just looked it up real quick over the break. He is shooting 43% from the 43? Corner threes. He's 6 for 13 from the left corner. 13 for 31 from the right.
Yeah, so coming from Philly, that's a lot better than I expected.
Yeah, I mean, above the break threes, he's 10 for 31, so that's where his percentage dips.
Really gives that a lot.
And if you're interested, Andre Roberson is 17 for 68.
Is that good?
25%. Man, from corner threes.
Those are the easy ones, right?
Well, they're supposed to be. But you know what time it is?
Not so much for him. You know is it trade season?
It's trade season.
Mm. Nope.
Hit the right one. The correct one. Oh, there it is.
Let's do that again.
Okay, hit it again.
Start the trade season thing.
Do you know what time it is?
Is it trade season?
It's trade season.
Sounds like trades.
Oh, it sounds like a trade's about to happen as we're podcasting, which might be terrible, actually.
Woj alert. No, I got nothing. He hasn't really said anything.
You don't have any hypothetical ones or anything? All right, well, that's it for a trade segment. Now, we have some submitted by you guys. We're only able to take a couple, though. We had so many, and we really appreciate that. I'm sorry if we can't get to yours, but we're going to get to as many as we possibly can. And the first one is...
At... AM jump shot. Roberson and Payne. From a boy. Kentavious Caldwell Pope. I've been high on this guy for a while, mm-hmm. just so you know. That's not his tweet. That's me saying that.
So Roberson and Payne for Caldwell Pope.
And the rest of his tweet says, this provides Detroit some flexibility to trade Jackson and someone to fill KCP's spot for now. He may be a little small for the three, but solid defense, speed, and capable scoring, in my opinion, would more than make up for it.
I think it's solid logic by the tweeter.
Yeah.
I don't think that Detroit would take Roberson and Payne for Caldwell Pope.
Yeah.
Because
that's my problem. Actually, I was thinking of some trades with Stevie Johnson, and I feel like SVG's high on both of those guys. And
yeah,
he's not.
But I could see a point where you have to pick one, maybe type thing.
For
but.
Sure.
But maybe if you throw a pick in there, it might be intriguing to him because you kind of get what Caldwell Pope does out of those two guys. Because
you get the defense, I mean, coming and out of Payne's shooting.
Coming out of college, Caldwell Pope was kind of regarded as a three-point shooter, and he's been more of a defender who's been trying to find a shot in the NBA.
Because he's been a very streaky shooter.
Yeah, but he's a good defender. So I think he could fit in really well with the Thunder team, and that's something to look at. But I think he's on his last year under contract. I know he is. So he's going to be a restricted free agent. So you're in the same situation you are with Roberson, except
then you lose him. And then...
Except I'm pretty certain Caldwell Pope will demand more money in the free agent market than Roberson.
I think his value is higher than Roberson.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, because he can play offense.
Yeah, that's looked upon highly by
if Roberson
GMs.
Could play offense as well as Caldwell Pope could, people would consider giving him max money.
Which,
I'm not even kidding.
The last several games. Where he's figured out how to get double-doubles and has been cutting to the basket and scoring at the rim and not missing layups and stuff. Like he's, it's almost like he figured out, oh, if I just shoot it at this spot in the backboard, it goes in.
Yeah.
Weird.
He learned the geometry of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So if he could just keep doing that, I think it'd be all right.
Well, yeah. I mean, but the thing is, you know, cutting to the basket, you're still relying on another player to make the pass.
Right. It's not, he can't make his own offense. Although he did make that sweet ass dunk.
Yeah. He's been driving to the hoop a little bit better. I mean, his confidence comes and goes on the offensive end. One thing that
mostly goes.
Yeah.
Mostly. Yeah,
very true. But one thing that doesn't come and go is his defensive confidence. I mean, he is just incredible. Solid. Pretty much every night. Although Paul George got him a little bit a couple times. He didn't really like dominate.
So it's like twice this season he's gotten got.
I wouldn't even say got by Paul George, but there was a couple shots on the stretch. Paul George got him with a step back, and Paul George is 6'9". I mean,
Paul George is pretty good.
Yeah, he's taller than Robertson, so he's
well.
He's
KD got him too, but he's KD.
That left a sour taste
in my mouth. At triple double VGC. Should we be aiming at a second star or balance growth? Say Indiana offers Paul George for Adams and Oladipo.
Speaking of.
Yes/no? Question mark.
Man.
Really got those punctuations in there.
So, first of all, a trade of Paul George for Adams and Oladipo doesn't work money-wise.
But I
take But it. let's say hypothetically it did. Would you take that? You would say yeah?
Yeah.
That's scary.
Paul George doesn't come around all that often.
What about, I agree. I mean, it's like you got to lock up to answer the tweeter's first part, should we be aiming at a second star or balanced growth? I firmly believe second star. That's what the Thunder have been doing, I feel like, is they've been filling out the role pieces to this team. And they're solid around. And I know that you're going to come back to this and you're going to say, well, really? They're solid role players? Look at the games they're losing. Russ has no help. They're young. They're solid,
very young,
developing role players. And that one day, Pressey's going to be able to handpick the ones he likes and put around Russ if Russ decides to stay long term. That being said, you have to go after a second star because that's the only way you have a chance at another championship.
Yeah, because everybody else has one. Competitor,
which, you know, we should have prefaced this entire discussion with, Cantor could have very well
been
just killed any chance of this happening. No, not been the guy.
No,
killed any
guy.
Chance of the trade happening. But I mean, but maybe he can be the guy. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but
it's not probable.
I'd rather use Cantor as a trade piece to be able to get a star, an established star in return to couple with Russell Westbrook. And I have a trade of my own here in a bit. Maybe a couple trades of my own about this. So
yeah. So at Ben 3, is Garrett Temple better than Andre Roberson?
No.
Agreed. Moving on. At Irf Jofer.
Which, hold on. But actually, Garrett Temple got $8 million a year in the offseason from the Kings, I believe.
So is that Roberson? Should maybe have taken our offer.
I think Roberson impacts the game more than Garrett Temple does. Garrett Temple's like, he can make you a shot or two, and he's okay on the defensive end. But Roberson, you know, he's so good on defense that he can dominate at times. You know, like you notice it. You're like, oh my God, this guy's
dominating.
Yeah,
it's like if you were a casual NBA fan, you would notice defense
for the first time in your life. Tell me that bearded guy is really good? Why
has he only got 4 points?
Yeah, exactly. So I think Roberson, with that being said, will demand somewhere around 12 to 15.
Yeah, hopefully 12. That guy. At Alex Abrinas.
At Alex.
Jesus. You've thrown me off, sir. All right. Alex Abrinas and Andre Roberson for Chris Middleton.
No way the Bucks take that.
Agreed. But, I got myself a Chris Middleton trade coming up.
Oh, do you?
It's a little more solid, I think, than that one.
No way the Bucks take that, but if they take that, yes.
Of course.
You know, but I think that you have to... You'd have to throw someone like... you'd probably have to throw a Sabonis in there. You'd have to throw...
You got
to
give them more. They're not taking that trade.
Yeah, I mean, see, I think they might be worried about the Chris Middleton injury and maybe what... This team, the Bucks, have maybe kind of developed without him
a
little bit.
Because they've kind of figured some stuff out. But I think they really value him because, like, I think they still need that outside guy.
And they might kind of think now, like, hey, we're struggling. We have good players, but he might be perfect once we put him in with these other guys. Exactly. He might spread the floor with Antetokounmpo.
All right, so Bumo, you updated, has a trade here for us, which is a guy a lot of people have been saying the Thunder are looking at.
Oh, he's got a three-teamer.
Three-team trade. It's a blockbuster deal. So he's got OKC getting Wilson Chandler, which is a guy that's been all over the place in rumors and whatnot. We apparently, Presti's been looking at him for a long time. So we get Wilson Chandler. The Nuggets and the Kings are in on this one. So the Nuggets will get Darren Collison from the Kings, and then Andre Robertson and Cameron Payne from us. And then the Kings will get Moutier.
So the Kings basically get Moutier for Collison.
Yeah. And so we get Chandler for Robertson and Payne.
So, yeah, I mean, you can really just throw that down to a two-team trade if you want to and just say Robertson and Payne for Wilson Chandler.
Yeah, and then they make a separate deal because there's really not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Nuggets would give up Moutier for Collison. I'm not sure. Moutier is still really young. He hasn't shown much promise.
Yeah.
But Wilson Chandler, hot topic. Everyone wants him in Oklahoma City. And I can't say that I don't think he would fit. I mean, I think that...
He would definitely help.
I think he'd fit. He's looked so good when I've watched him this year, too. Yeah. I think he's having the best season of his career. How old is Wilson Chandler? 29, I think? 28? I think he's 29. Yeah, look it up with your little fingers over there.
Just click clack real quick. He's 29 years old. 29. You nailed it.
So, I mean, he's a
May 10th.
He's
same
a
dad,
really good
same.
Scorer. He's not going to lock anyone up defensively, so you're giving up for Andre Robertson. And the thing is, if you give up an Andre Robertson for Wilson Chandler, Andre Robertson, Cameron Payne, you know, you're obviously losing a lot of youth there.
Yeah.
The Nuggets, I guarantee they would love to have a guy like Robertson on their team.
For sure.
So I think he fits in really well. They have a lot of offensive-minded guys. He comes in there.
And I think they're going to start building around Jokic a lot because he's definitely their best player.
Oh, he's their building block, no doubt. And I think that they...
So they found a star there, and they don't necessarily need Wilson Chandler now.
And Wilson Chandler has been public about he wants a trade.
Yeah.
And Presti's always been fond of Wilson Chandler. I don't think it's far-fetched to think that this might happen, but I will say that, I mean, when has anyone ever predicted a Presti trade, right? I mean, that's never happened. So
we've said that a lot.
And I think one thing you worry about with Wilson Chandler is his health issues.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's been hurt a lot.
I'm going to go through his seasons in a descending order.
Oh.
How many games he played each season, okay? So he's played 47 this year, so he's been healthy most of the year. Didn't play a single game last year. Played 78 the year before, so he's healthy that year. Healthy that year. 62 the year before that, so he missed 20 games. 43 the year before that, so he played about half the season. Year before that, he only played 8 games.
Wow.
Year before that, 21. Year before that, 51. 72, 65, 82 in his second year in the league, and then 35.
So is that...
As a rookie.
3 or 4 almost full seasons.
So he averages 49 games a season.
Wow.
And so
that's really worrisome. Like,
yeah, right? I mean,
if you're giving away that youth.
Right.
And
a guy like Andre Robertson who has a durable history, right?
Knocking on wood, please.
And not a pain, obviously, with his foot and everything. But I think that's a huge risk you take for, you know what? Maybe 4 wins the rest
5
of the year?
5, according to Hollinger.
Okay, well...
Whoever... I don't know why he's...
Yeah. Why is he still analyzing my trades?
Yeah, the time.
But yeah, but say it does give you 5 wins, which I highly doubt the rest of this year.
Probably not.
But say it gives you 4. Best case scenario. And the Thunder grabbed the 5 seed over it. Is Wilson Chandler a building block? Is he someone that's...
Right.
You know, I don't know. He makes $11 million a year. He's got a 3-year contract... So he's taking up cap space, and you're not giving up any cap space really for him. That's probably about the price tag.
Yeah, because you're only giving, like, Robertson and Payne, you're giving up about $4 million.
Right.
And you're taking on another 11.
And Robertson, that's probably going to be about salary range. The Thunder are looking to pay him. I don't think Thunder are going to want to pay him much more, if any.
11 or 12, yeah.
Yeah, so.
For sure.
I mean, I'd like to see it because maybe that's the opportunity Chandler gets to blossom.
Yeah, and that it could be that he's not been in the right situation, and then he comes here and it is.
Could be, but isn't
or
it?
Or it could be he comes here and...
But why does he come off the bench for a Nuggets team?
For a team that's not very good.
It's, yeah.
That's worrisome too.
Right. So, and maybe it's because they're trying to develop their young guys, and maybe that's why. But have they always just been trying to develop their young guys? I don't know. Like, I'm not.
I mean, yeah, Denver's just been kind of hanging around.
I go back and forth on this Wilson Chandler thing, and I know it happens when the Thunder are in a losing streak, and I'm like, man, they need to do something.
Maybe we can go grab.
But then when they win, you know, I'm like, why get Wilson Chandler? But I think that's how it kind of works, you know, with the fan bases. I don't know. I mean, if today Sam Presti wanted your okay to trade Robertson and Payne for Wilson Chandler, do you say yes?
Oof. You say no, that's tough. I think I would say yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. That's hard to say though. That's hard to pull the trigger on.
The thing, because you have to also think about the value you're getting back too. So you're getting Chandler. So what's his value going to be going down the road? He's going to be 30 next year. He's going to be 31 next.
Right.
That's how age works.
Yeah.
So you age year
by year. You get older.
So how? Good,
and he's been fragile in the past. He's just going to get more fragile, right, baby. So
that's just going to diminish his value too. I mean,
yeah.
So.
Maybe he'll take the veteran minimum.
I don't know. I think obviously with the way I'm talking about it, I don't know. I don't know if I'm.
You're now talking me out of.
But I've been saying this.
You're very coercive.
I've been saying the same thing though. That I just don't. Unless the Thunder are gonna make a big trade, I don't think it's worth it.
Then why trade?
I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah.
Unless it's a really subtle trade, like just a really like
Josh Huestis for.
Yeah. Right.
Guy on bench.
Or how they got Joffrey LeVern for 2 second rounders, something like that, you know? I mean.
Right. All right. So at Thunder's Takes, Mario Hezonja.
Thunder Steaks?
Thunderous Takes.
Oh, I was going to say I'm going to have to order Thunder some steaks, of these steaks.
Like that. So Mario Hezonja. Also, how the lack of first round picks could haunt my many trade opportunities. I don't really know.
Oh, okay. So he's saying let's trade for Mario Hezonja.
Comma.
I say no.
Yeah, let's not do that.
I think he's kind of been a disappointment so far. I mean, he has
every highlight I've seen of the guy is him making a huge mistake.
Yeah, but and no, don't act like the Thunder are just lacking crazy amount of first round picks. Although what you're saying isn't entirely false. I mean, they traded one to the Jazz and here and there.
Yeah, they've moved several of them.
They're missing a couple, but but actually, I just think one now. I think we'd have to look at the future picks, but I think it's just one first round pick right now. And I think it's next year, but I'm not big on Hezonja.
Not a fan of him.
Not big on Hezonja, but I got a trade for you.
Ooh,
of my own.
Let's hear it. Is it better than the Twits ones?
Do you want to hear a blockbuster first, or do you want to hear like just a? Minor.
Let's go minor trade first. Minor I want to hear that blockbuster.
What
that
about
lasts.
Like a Josh Huestis in a second rounder, or Josh Huestis in a second rounder for Boris Dia? I think this is. An
they off- like it. The people say yes.
It's an off the wall, and Dia is very old and fat. But I like his playmaking ability. I think he could provide something this year and be a good veteran to the young guys.
Yeah.
And
but that, I think because of that, I think that the Jazz would like to keep him.
You're right, but he hasn't had a great year with the Jazz. Yeah. He hasn't been great, but that might be a reason they like to keep him around because come
he's
playoff time because
people, yeah,
they are going to make the playoffs.
Experience, and, for sure.
So it's highly doubtful that Jazz take Huestis in a second rounder. Unless they're just trying to get younger, they're trying to get more athletic, which also could be a possibility. You don't know what they're trying to do because they're not a very athletic team, really. I mean,
yeah,
they're kind of like a grind. They're like a Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis,
yeah, like slow it down, play defense. Okay, so I got one for you.
Okay.
This is going back to that old Chris Middleton idea.
Ooh.
So OKC sends Kyle Singler. Everyone loves that. We get rid of Kyle.
Everyone's on board with that.
We're all in agreement so far.
Yep, that's it.
Go ahead and make the trade.
Pull the trigger.
We're gonna send Kyle Singler, Anthony Morrow, and Cameron Payne to the Bucks. In return, we're going to get Chris Middleton and Jason Terry.
Thoughts, you got to throw feelings. Some picks in there.
Well, yeah, we'll probably bump that up with because you're giving them Singler, so they got to get something.
It's probably going to have to be a first and a second, I would say. So repeat it. So who the Thunder lose? Singler,
Morrow, Payne. For Middleton and Jason Terry, who we could totally waive.
So let's say Singler, Morrow, Payne, and a first rounder.
yeah.
for Chris Middleton and Jason Terry as for the money for yeah, the for
right,
the,
to make
the
work.
Money work.
I would take it personally.
Singler, Morrow, but yeah, you take that in a heartbeat.
Middleton's the shooter that we need.
I think the first round pick is what worries you, and I think the Thunder
yeah, for sure.
I think the Thunder are going to be worrisome. They're going to be a little leery of trading these first round picks right now until they know the future of Russell Westbrook. Right,
that's true.
Because if you
give away all your future picks yeah. and you lose your yeah. star player, your last one.
I mean, think about it. If Russ walks, you're going to be a bad team. You're going to get
while.
You're going to get a great pick, and if you don't get that pick,
you're going to be the Nets.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God,
don't be the Nets.
Don't be the Nets.
Okay, my second minor trade, and my only other minor trade, Kyle Singler.
I like it.
And a second round pick for Bojan,
for cash?
Bojan Bogdanovic, speaking of the Nets.
Bogdanovic, huh?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
He can shoot the ball. He's in last year of his contract. I believe he's going to be restricted.
I was
going
to take that for cash. So bring Bogdanovic. Yeah.
Do you think people would pay for a Singler?
No.
But I actually think like Singler.
I think it was only like $5.
I think Singler desperately needs a change of scenery. And I think that he might get it.
Maybe to Europe or China.
I see. I still think that he can maybe.
You think?
I don't know. I know it sounds crazy.
Have you watched him play basketball?
I just think he totally doesn't fit on this team. And
yeah,
I think
it's
that,
not
I think that Presti made a big mistake getting.
That was a big mistake.
Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking there. Maybe because
well,
he was
I mean, it looked like he could play. And then he got here and then it looked like he couldn't play.
Yeah, it looks like he's never played the game. Before.
He looks like me playing basketball, which is not great. You've seen it. Slime and vomiting is
that'd
mostly
be,
it.
Wouldn't that be the icing on the cake if Singler vomited in the game?
That would be incredible. Okay. I got a blockbuster coming up. I don't know if you're going to like this.
Oh, I'm gonna
it's
like
a little
it.
Sketchy. We trade with the Chicago Bulls. Doubles. Yeah.
Doubles.
We give them Enes Kanter. Victor Oladipo, Cameron Payne for Jimmy Butler.
Man.
And the scary part of the trade, we also get Rondo.
Well, you can buy
the
out
cancer.
Rondo. You can buy out Rondo, right? What's Rondo's contract?
He's making $14 million.
A year?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a hard buyout.
That's a lot of money for just sitting over there on the bench.
Yeah,
and
just being a cancer.
Posting to Instagram.
Yeah.
So
just posting paragraphs.
Kanter, Depot, and Payne. So it's essentially Kanter, Depot, and Payne for Butler.
Yes.
You do that?
Yep. It's Butler, man.
I know. It's kind of like the same thing that I've been saying. It's just like
you got to get that guy.
You got to get that superstar. But I worry about the fit.
But also, I mean, that's given up a lot.
It's given up a lot, but. It's. I don't like losing Depot in that.
That's, I don't either.
I'd like to see if there's any alternatives. You know, I'd be like
put Kyle Singler in that spot.
We'll give you Morrow, Kyle Singler, Alex Abrines, Sabonis.
We'll give you like four more players.
I'll give you Sabonis. You know, like that's what worries me there. I think if I'm the Thunder, if that's me, I say no. Because,
really?
I don't know.
Interesting.
You can't say no
to Jimmy B, bro.
I think that. Do you think the Bulls say no though? I don't think they do. If you
I think because of all the problems they've had.
They might ask for a pick.
Although, then they're going to lose D-Wade because he's not going to stay on a team Mm-mm. that doesn't have Jimmy Butler on
They
it.
Need to rebuild anyways, though.
But yeah, they should just start over. And we could... If you don't give them Oladipo, you give them like Singler and a pick. Maybe they take that so that they have some picks.
Yeah, like you'd have to give them a couple picks.
Yeah.
Because if you just give them one pick, then they have to hit on that one pick.
But I mean, they're getting Campaign and Kanter. That's... Those yeah. are pretty two pretty good pieces. Like,
well,
Kanter's still young.
Especially, you at least know Kanter's a good piece.
And he's solid.
Piece. And you know Oladipo's a good piece, too. But yeah. yeah, like we said, if you want to take him away, they're going to want another good piece. And I think Sabonis would have to be a part of it.
I'd be fine with that, especially right now.
Here's my blockbuster, and this is Ooh. The one that I hope for. And
oh,
I just
no.
started hoping for it last night. Three-teamer between the Thunder, the Cavs, and the Knicks. Because everyone knows about all this
Uh-oh.
Cavs-Knicks drama going on. LeBron supposedly wants Carmelo to the Cavs at any cost, right? Even if it means Kevin Love. That's where the Thunder come in. They say, I can do that for you, LeBron.
LeBron?
We'll take Kevin Love because he doesn't make sense in New York.
Right.
He doesn't make sense next to Kristaps Porzingis. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Super weird. So, here's what we'll do. You know who does make sense next to Kristaps? Enes Kanter.
Ooh.
Just eating up that lane. Yeah. Kristaps spreading the floor for him.
It does make sense.
So.
It's a beaut.
So, Thunder send Kanter and Payne to New York. New York sends Carmelo to Cleveland, obviously.
Right.
And Cleveland ships Love to Oklahoma City.
I'm for it.
Obviously, I think you have to give... I think Cleveland needs a little more for giving up Love instead of Anthony. I think they're going to want a pick from someone.
And of course, it'll be us.
And then the Knicks will probably want something. So, but just forget about that.
The spine of the trade being right, that.
Exactly. I love the idea of Kevin Love in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, reunites with his roomie.
I think it's a perfect fit. First of all, you don't lose hardly any rebounding, if any at all.
Can you imagine Kevin Love outlet passes to Russ exactly. down the floor in right. 2 seconds?
Transit. That's been a thing that's been actually...
Did you see that outlet pass
yeah.
to LeBron last night? Yeah. Oh my God.
That's been a thing that's kind of gotten popular too lately is on Thunder Twitters. They're talking about how the Thunder have not been good in transition this year. Like, they're getting a lot of opportunities in transition and fast break, and they're not converting at a high level because, I mean, I think Russ is having to do it
90% of the team can't make a layup.
Right, so. He's having to do it all. So if you get it started with Kevin Love getting a layup, plus he spreads the floor for Steven Adams.
Yeah.
And I think if you have Kevin Love as a power forward, think about what that does for Andre Robertson as a player.
Yeah.
You can do the old switcheroo, play him at the power forward on offense.
Right.
And spread the floor with Kevin Love and use him in screens and stuff. Defense. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that
would be beautiful.
Huge.
If they can make that happen, Sam, do this.
I'll cry. I want that to happen. And not to mention, Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook, college teammates, college roommates.
Yeah. They can argue about temperature in the rooms again.
I mean, I think you can't say that solidifies that Russell Westbrook will stay in Oklahoma City.
I feel like that's a big boost.
Yeah, it helps. I mean, it's not a secret that they're friends and
yeah.
they like each other. I don't know.
It's a pretty sweet boost.
I think they should go for it.
So, if the Knicks are like stuck on getting Kevin Love, they won't do this without getting Kevin Love because that's their whole plan, right? They've been bugging.
Would that be so weird if they're stuck on getting... I think but they I mean, only want Kevin Love.
That's what
Love.
They're talking about with Melo because of the
right, but do you think value, that they right? want... Do you think that they only want Kevin Love because they don't want... They need something of value, right?
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think it's because they want Kevin Love necessarily. You know what I'm saying?
Hopefully not because I really like that trade you had and I want us to have him. But if they have to get Kevin Love in this trade, I've got another thing for us.
Okay.
So we send Josh Eustace to the Cavs.
Oh, yeah.
They'll love that. But they also get Melo, which is their whole plan.
Okay.
They get Melo from the Knicks. The Knicks will get Kevin Love, Kyle Singler, and Cam Payne. So we're sending them Kyle Singler, Cam Payne. We get back Shumpert from the Cavs
mm-hmm.
and Brandon Jennings from the Knicks to replace our point guard lack, which...
So really who are the Thunder giving up? Eustace,
Singler, and Payne, which I'm
for
all about.
Shumpert
and Jennings.
I don't know. Shumpert.
Shumpert confuses me because I felt like he couldn't shoot from, like, hit the side of a barn.
And
from,
he has an injury history of his own.
He's always hurt, and his hairstyles are.
So he averages about ridiculous. 50 games a season.
Yeah,
I just looked.
That's
it up.
Rough. And Brandon Jennings also hurt a lot.
Yeah,
and streaky.
Yeah, I don't. Do you know he scored 55 points in a game as a rookie?
Wow, I did not know that.
Not happening.
That's weird, wild stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm definitely not as high on that as us getting Kevin Love.
But hey, Presti's loved Shumpert in the past.
He has,
and I wouldn't mind getting Shumpert. Like, if they could do it.
But you know, like. My feelings with
if
Shumpert
they could do
is
it
like,
where they don't have to give up anything.
Exactly. Let's just bring in LeBron. My feelings with Shumpert, though, are he's going to get here and be completely incapable of doing anything yeah. well.
His lack of shooting is going to come out because yeah. LeBron's not passing it perfectly
right
where he needs it.
Even though know? Russ will do it pretty perfectly.
Yeah. Russ's passes can be off target, though.
Yeah, they
but
can.
He gets them to them. You, right. know? You have to kind of be able to snatch it and shoot it a little bit. Okay, I have one last blockbuster.
One last trade. It's
the last one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the last one?
It's the last trade,
okay,
right
another
here.
Another three-teamer blockbuster revolving around Carmelo Anthony. But this time, Carmelo Anthony's going to the Clippers. Because that's been the other team people have been talking about, right? And things in L.A., are they working? Are they working?
Are they? No one knows.
Blake Griffin. Lots to talk about Blake Griffin.
Old BG.
So here we go. Thunder are shipping out Andre Robertson to L.A., Enes Kanter to New York, Cameron Payne to New York in return for Blake Griffin.
I like it.
Clippers get Carmelo and Andre Robertson. Knicks get Kanter, Wes Johnson, and Cameron Payne. So, Thunder get Blake Griffin. Clippers get Carmelo and Robertson. Knicks get Kanter, Wesley
That's
Johnson,
actually
and Cameron
like
Payne.
Doable, I think.
I've been trying to...
Because the Clippers have been like really against trading Blake or any of the three, right? So they're... Like, that's, I've read several things where it's like the Knicks have been trying to send Melo to the Clippers, but they're not willing to give CP or Blake or DeAndre.
Mm-hmm.
But if we could kind of like balance the loss there a little bit.
I think you might need to throw in a pick to the Clippers.
Probably.
So they feel better about getting Carmelo at an old age and Robertson, you know, like he is
no
who
offense.
He is. Yeah, he is who he is, but. For the
but,
Knicks,
I mean,
like, I think that's good compensation for the Knicks. Kanter, Wesley
Kanter,
Johnson,
yeah.
and Cameron Payne, all young guys.
Right, and they can build, like, they're building around Kristaps is the idea there. And like you said, Kristaps and Kanter together is kind of a nice little duo.
Yeah, it could be.
It's pretty sweet.
I think that's a nice duo.
Yeah.
It seems like it fits well to me. Plus, Kanter seems like a New Yorker guy. I don't know, something about him. Seems a little New
Turkish.
York. Seems like a little New Yorker.
Little New Yorker?
But not little, but more huge.
He's... I think they would fit together. And I think that balances that whole thing out where we could actually get Blake. Are you
we'll
worried
see.
About Blake's injuries, though?
Yeah.
He's been hurt
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, why are we only trading for injured players today?
I think that's
you know?
All that's available.
Yeah, no
it's
joke.
It's getting weird.
I don't know, and I still do worry about Blake's fit on the Thunder if that even becomes a possibility, but I think that him and Westbrook and Adams
Bro,
as a
those
trio...
Lobs?
Yeah, but I worry about floor spacing a little bit. I think you almost get to the same issue that
with
you have
Kanter
with the
Clippers.
Or the same issue the Clippers have.
Yeah.
Because
you got DeAndre and Blake. Yeah. It's the same thing.
So I worry about that.
Well, there's that, but so you guys are welcome. We talked about trades.
Yeah, trades.
We did it.
We hate
we hate
talking about trades because Woo. No one knows. No one knows what's going to happen. You can speculate all you want, and you're just like,
there's a 1% chance that any of these trades that we talked about will actually happen.
But if it happens, I'm
you
on
heard
board.
It here first.
Yeah, I hope it's Kevin Love, and I presented that in Rob, who's not here, who we can talk trash on now for.
Yes,
he doesn't like the trade. So.
He doesn't like getting cut?
Well, he That's said he weird. Didn't like it. He said he'd rather have Cameron Payne and Kanter.
I don't know about that.
Over Kevin Love.
I'll take Kevin Love.
Yeah.
For sure.
I don't get it. Okay.
All right. And now for the Russell Westbrook triple-double counter.
Okay, we are tracking Russell Westbrook's historic season. He's got 25 triple-doubles. He's on pace for 39
Whew.
On the year. So he's got to pick it up a little bit if he wants to catch Oscar Robertson's 41.
Would have been nice if he could have got that one assist in that Pacers game.
I know he had. He was so close for so long, and he never got the assist.
If people could just make shots when he gives them the ball. Then.
Right. Well, he's averaging 30.9 points a game, 10.5 boards, and 10.2 assists. So he's hanging in there with the averages.
He's pretty good. No!
Okay, speaking of Russell Westbrook, he has a cover story on this week's New York Times Magazine. Did you read it?
Quite fancy.
Did you read it?
Read,
you did
read a
read
section
it.
Of it. Haven't
like,
read the whole thing yet. It's real
like
long.
A week long
yeah.
of a read.
I've been reading it daily.
But it's just cool that that's a thing. That,
that's awesome.
That he got that and just he's such an interesting figure and just popular now. And he and really, Kevin Durant did him a favor
yeah,
as far
it's cool.
as fame goes.
It's really
know?
Cool how his perception across...
Yeah, he's
everywhere
a hero
has
now.
Changed. Yeah, it's so awesome.
As opposed to a villain, you know. Okay, Oklahoma City Blue coach Mark
Dagnalt.
Is that how you say it?
I'm gonna. Yeah.
Dagnalt.
Dagnalt.
I bet it's Dagnalt.
Dagnalt.
We should know this. Should we?
It's the blue.
That's no true. He's been named the D-League Coach of the Month after a 9-2 record in January.
Good job, boys.
Like the blue are doing well because Dakari Johnson, Thunder's second-round pick from two years ago, I believe. He was named D-League Player of the Week. That's the second time. Well, he won D-League Player of the Month, I believe.
Yeah.
So now he won D-League Player of the Week. And he is also New Orleans bound. He was named a Western Conference D-League All-Star. So that's pretty cool. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's exciting.
That's some talent we got sitting down there.
A second-round pick. You wonder.
He looked good in Summer League last year, too.
You wonder if he has a future as a Thunderer. Josh Huestis started a blog. You read it?
I did read that.
It's pretty good.
It's good, yeah.
And check out jhuestis.wordpress.com. I totally recommend it. It's insightful.
It's really cool to see like that. I remember when Derek Fisher kind of did a similar thing where he would like talk about the team and like their travels and stuff, and it's kind of cool to see from a young player.
It's a new element with the young player and stuff and kind of trying to make his way.
Yeah, like in his first post was about Collison like showing him the ropes and stuff, and it was just kind of cool to see him giving props to Nick for like all the stuff that you don't see.
Right. And up next, it's the dreaded Cavs coming to town on Thursday, Warriors coming to town on Saturday, Kevin Durant's return.
It's going to be a rough week.
We already made our predictions. We were supposed to pod Sunday, but we weren't able to, so now we podded today. I went 1-2. Jason went 1-2. You guys, Twitter, went 1-2. Rob's feeling
pretty confident over there.
Yeah, so Rob's got the Thunder beating the Cavs and the Warriors. Jason's still losing with 5 points, just five misses to go before he has to call into the Sports Animal. And pretend to be Al Eshbeck on Al Eshbeck's show. That being said, all that in the past, what are you thinking with these games? I mean, do the Thunder have a chance to win these games, either of them? It should be noted that the Cavs and the Warriors will be coming off back-to-backs.
Right? So that'll be helpful a little bit. The Cavs played into overtime against the Wizards the other night, which by then will probably be fine. I hope to, like, if we win either of them, I really want it to be the Warriors game. Like, I feel like our team is going to be just so charged up for this game.
It's going to be intense.
After the shellackings we took from them the first.
I don't know
if we actually have the ability to win the game. Like,
the talent.
Like, no matter how good we play, I don't know if it's going to be enough.
Especially without Cantor.
Especially, well, not like he could stay on the floor anyways.
But he did last time against the Warriors.
It's going to be rough finding offense.
Yeah, exactly.
Whenever they're just draining buckets.
Exactly. And I don't know if they have anyone to guard Cantor down low. Obviously, he doesn't have anyone to guard on the other end.
But did you see when the Warriors lost to the Kings the other day?
Yes.
With Steph missing a layup.
Yes.
In overtime
and lose. And KD had 10 total points in an overtime game.
So just imagine that happening at the peak and just the applause.
It's going to be an extreme amount of booing towards Kevin Durant, right?
Do you think he can handle it?
Yeah. He's probably just going to drain 17 threes and then talk trash, and it's going to be really annoying. But...
Well, that really took it...
Yeah,
depressing turn, but it's probably true.
I want people to expect that so they're not so disappointed when it happens. If it happens.
Because it's gonna.
I hope it doesn't. I hope he's terrible, and I hope Russ is incredible. I mean, God, I feel like the tension. I'm gonna be there, but I feel like the tension is going.
There's gonna be
tension.
You're gonna be able to feel it.
You're right. There is. Okay, follow us on Twitter at OKC Thunderheads. Subscribe on iTunes. Just search Thunderheads. We'll pop right up. We are back on regular schedule coming this Sunday, so look out for the pod on Sunday night or Monday. We are the official Oklahoma City Thunder A-Team podcast on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, so check out almightyballer.com for more. Find us on Facebook, SoundCloud, Google Play, whatever suits your needs. Trade season is upon us. Brace yourselves. As always, Thunder up.
Napa Know How. Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how!
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.